This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
Joe, we've got Josh Pitterman who is joining us. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Hi, Neil. Hi, David. Hi, Eve. Hi.
Hello. Hello. Congratulations, Josh. Tell the world what has just happened for you.
Oh, I hate telling the world that way. You can share the news.
All right. Okay. Josh is just about ready to jump on a plane this week to head off to London to star in Les Mis. Josh, how wonderful for you. I'm so thrilled for you.
Thanks so much, David. You've been so part of my journey over many, many years and been so wonderful and supportive all the way along. So, thank you.
Well, our pleasure, because you've been very supportive of Joy over the years, doing a lot of fundraising events for us. So we thank you. And the wonderful story, though, Josh, is that you went a couple of years ago off to London to star in Phantom of the Opera. Here you are in London on the stage where it was made famous. And COVID hit, and after only a few months, you had to turn around and come home because they closed down the production.
Yeah, I mean, there was a deep sense of loss and sadness when that happened. I was probably greater so that I was riding so high after a couple of hundred performances of such an iconic role like The Phantom, and as you said, to play it in the theatre where it was originated with Michael Crawford and Sarah Brightman and Hal Prince and everything that sort of came with that original production. So yeah, it was sad. And then after staying in London for about 9 months with COVID, it was time to come home. And then subsequently was cast in the Australian production for the Opera House and Melbourne, and that got delayed by a year or so. And we closed, but I've had the best time doing that. We just closed Melbourne after 7 months of Sydney and Melbourne yesterday afternoon. And it was such a raw, beautiful, emotional final performance and, wonderful standing ovation. I must say the Melbourne audiences have been, were extraordinary for the 4 month season. So, but now a new adventure. So I'm very excited to be getting back to London, back to the West End. And Jean Valjean is a role that, I've dreamt of playing since as long as I can remember, and another big beast of a challenge to undertake.
Right. Josh, how exciting for you, though? You know, like, you're now really top of the tree within musical theatre around the world now. I know you're going to be very humble and say, oh, no. But you are. You know, these two iconic roles, and they're yours now.
Yeah. Thank you, David. I must admit, I'm going to play it humble. It's not that I'm playing it humble. It's that I invest so much in my craft and in the characters and the depth and the journey of these incredible men that I get to play. Complex, flawed, but wonderful men. And the amazing scores that I get to sing. So while from the outside, I guess you can sort of see it as climbing a ladder of success and whatever, my deep focus is in the work and in the craft and in getting into the depths of these characters so that I can transport the people watching into the world of these characters.
And Josh, what is your process for that? How do you get to know the characters and make them your own?
Well, the wonderful thing about Les Mis is that Victor Hugo novel is the most, rich and deep source material that anyone could ever want as an actor. It's, 1,500 pages of just such vivid imagery and language. I'm probably about halfway through at the moment, but, the famous part that a lot of people know from Les Mis is the song Who Am I, where Jean Valjean is dealing with the dichotomy of whether to hand himself in because someone else is going to go to jail in his name, or to remain as Monsieur Le Maire, who's looking after this incredible town and is employing lots of people. And in the musical, we get a song, Who Am I?, where, you know, he decides finally it's 2, 4, 6, 0, 1, and he's, you know, he's going to, you know, hand himself in. In the book, it goes for about 50 pages of this dichotomy, and it's almost like the images of him walking up and down the hallway, so much so that his feet and his imprint is like ripping up the hallways.
Wow.
You know, so you get so much more depth to who this man is. So that's where I go to. I go to the source material, and then I go to Claude Michel and Alan Bublé's incredible score, because the rest of it can be found in the music.
Mm.
It is quite incredible that so much like emotion and thought of a character and something that someone has written can be distilled so with such nuance into a song. And a lot of that is credit to the performer as well. Do you find that it's a bit of an emotional roller coaster performing shows like this each night?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the Phantom is a beast in himself and goes on such an emotional journey that, you know, by the end, that final lair scene, it just rips your heart out of the performer and subsequently rips the heart out of many people who get to watch it. But if I don't go there, the audience don't go there.
Yeah.
It's my responsibility as the actor to really embody all of that. And that comes with the cost. The cost is that, you know, it's really draining and emotionally and neurally and adrenally fatiguing, vocally fatiguing.
Yeah.
But that's the sacrifice and that's the responsibility. And I never shy away from that because I love it so much. And it's also in its way incredibly cathartic.
Yeah.
That's quite interesting what you said about it also being adrenally fatiguing, because it makes sense that, I mean, every night you'd have all this adrenaline, but you'd also be having all like these internal hormonal physiological reactions to going through these emotions as well.
Yeah, I mean, the body doesn't separate from whether I'm in acting mode or I'm in actual just Josh mode and experiencing all this stuff. It's still experiencing a rush of cortisol through the system and all those things. So I have to do a lot to, you know, balance that out. And I have a series of things, whether it's massage or chiro, acupuncture or cold therapy or yoga or all the things that, and the way I eat, how much I sleep to make sure that I'm balancing that out. So there's an athletic component, I guess.
There would have to be, yeah. Yeah,
just in order to keep,
on top of it. Yeah. What about sleep, though, Josh? You know, like, do you take a long time to wind down when you know, you'd leave the theatre? You'd obviously have to, a fair bit of time in the theatre, like changing and showering and whatever. But what about when you get home? Does it take you a while to wind down?
Not necessarily. I sort of start that process from when I like leave the stage. I start vocally warming down. I have a cold shower afterwards because, you know, much more science has come out over the last 5 years about the benefits of cold therapy in terms of the adrenal system and vagus nerve. I can go into all that boring stuff, but basically it's really good for calming the system. And then in the car on the way home, I'm continuing the warm down. My eyes are obviously still open. I'm focused on the road. And then it just all continues. I go through a sort of rituals or regime that's steaming the voice. I get a wheat pack and put that in the microwave.
Oh.
All these sort of boring things. I watch a bit of sort of silly TV or read my book. And I'm asleep by midnight normally.
Oh, okay.
Which a lot of performers I know really struggle with that. I did early on in my career, but I was just like, you know what? I'm an early riser. I don't like to sleep in. So if I'm going to be up by 7:30 or 8 o'clock, I need to be in bed by 11:30.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to sleep enough.
Now tell us, how long ago did you find out you had the role? You've probably had to sit on it for so long.
A long time. The start of November.
Oh, wow.
I've known for, what is that, four months?
Yeah.
Am I doing correct calculations there?
Three months.
I've been in the back pocket for a while, but the wonderful thing about that is that throughout the Phantom season, especially the last probably month, I've got to, you know, spend time learning the material and familiarizing myself, because I know that I've got, you know, 6 days off here in Melbourne, about the same in London when I land, and then I'm into a really quite a condensed 3 to 3.5 week rehearsal process before I before my opening night. So it's given me an opportunity to sort of get ahead and as I said, read the book and learn the score as best as possible. So I'm sort of off book for day one and can get right into it.
Right. And what about where are you going to live when you get to London? Is it a similar place to where you were last time, or are you going to try some another area?
I'm very grateful that the team at CML, at Cameron McIntosh Limited, have put me up in an apartment in central London.
So excuse me. You're the star.
Super bougie. And it's really... really lovely, and it just means I can walk to work, and so that's a real sort of bonus and a gift. So I'm really, yeah, they've been so wonderful. I'm really grateful for that. I can't wait to step foot in it.
And so when is the show being mounted?
Well, the show has not, other than COVID and the fact that this production that I'm doing now is different to the original production. I think it changed in about 25th anniversary of the production. So about 2010, a new production.
Well, that came to Australia too, didn't it? That production?
With Simon Gleeson and Hayden T, who were extraordinary. So that's the production I'm doing. But so other than COVID, Les Mis hasn't stopped on the West End since 1985. So I'm just one of many men to get to play Jean Valjean. And I'm one of five new cast members joining who are all lead roles. So I think rehearsals actually start tomorrow for some of them, and we're sort of this staggered rehearsal process to get individuals up to speed for March 27th.
Right. Well, look, have the best time, which I know you will. Enjoy this wonderful experience.
Before you head off, Josh, just one quick question. I have to ask you. I think I've heard you say that this is obviously a bit of a dream role. You've done Phantom. You're doing Les Mis. What is next? Do you have anything else that you know? I don't want to spook you or anything else. But you know, is there another sort of dream role or what's next for you after Les Mis?
Well, I think a dream would be, and excuse my dad jokes, to bring him home. Les Mis back to Australia.
Okay.
That would be a real dream. Also, what a song. Can't wait to get to sing that one every night. but I think, what I'd really love to do, and if there are writers out there, young writers out there who are interested in writing musical theatre or who do write musical theatre, I would love to be a part of, you know, the embryos of a new work.
Wow.
And be a part of that workshop process and be part of a, you know, round table first read of a script and hopefully see something through to a main stage, whether that's a main stage here in Australia or internationally. I just think there'd be something so fulfilling about that, that lengthy experience. Yep. So maybe that.
Well, just have the best time, Josh. And thank you so much for speaking to us as you're probably packing up your home right now.
I literally am. This bad boy's going on Airbnb and I need to clean out the cupboards.
Well, Josh, all the very best and can't wait to start reading the reviews on how wonderful you're going to be in the show.
Oh, you're too kind. Thanks, David. Thanks, Neil. Thanks, Eve. Thanks for having me, guys.
Our pleasure.
Thank you so much, Josh. We've been talking to Josh Peterman here on Joy 94.9. And, in fact, we're going to play Josh singing Unchained Melody here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
My life, my
thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.